This is the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 153.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Alex is ready to answer your questions and provide you with the tools you need to succeed in real estate, all through case studies, current real-life transactions, and proven marketing strategies. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? I got a good show for you here today lined up, and it actually spins off of a consulting call I had earlier this morning with two really, really solid dudes. I won't mention their name because I didn't talk to them about this, but I've been working with them a couple of months, and they've seen massive results, and they're really making strides in their business. And so we had a call earlier today, and one of the challenges they were having, I think, is a challenge that a lot of people struggle with, and it's not something I think I've dedicated too much time as far as on the podcast here. And so I wanted to just kind of take a snippet from that, and I'm not going to share the recording of the call, but I kind of want to highlight just some of the things that we talked about. And they've been, you know, locking up some properties, and they've gotten a few of them sold, and one in particular that they got under contract, they're having a hard time finding a buyer for it. And so, you know, the question that they posed to me was, you know, what do you do in a situation in which, you know, you have a property under contract, you're marketing that contract, you're doing everything you can to get it out there, and yet you're hearing crickets, right? Nobody's interested, or you're getting very little interest in the property. And so that could be for a variety of reasons. First and foremost, it may not be a deal, right? And so if you have a big enough buyer's list, or if you're doing a good job on the marketing side of things, and you're getting that property slash that contract in front of a lot of eyeballs, then it may just not be a deal. But you know, then again, it might be, and it just takes one buyer, right? I always tell my team that sometimes we'll get aggressive as far as putting out properties that maybe we think could be a challenge to sell. And sometimes we surprise ourselves and we get them moved, right? It just takes one buyer, and people underwrite and analyze deals in different ways. And so, you know, the other part of it is, especially if you're just getting started, maybe you just don't have enough reach, right? Maybe you're in the process of building a buyer's list, and so you just don't have that many buyers. And so in cases like that, it's important to work with other people in your market, other wholesalers, other agents, leverage their list, you know, work out joint venture agreements and things of that nature. But specifically, you know, some of the advice I shared with them is when you market a deal, and after, you know, I always say the really, really good deals, you're going to have interest for the most part right off the bat. Like within the first 24 to 48 hours, you're going to get a real good sense of what type of deal you have, especially if, again, you have a big buyer's list, and or if you're just doing a good job marketing and you're getting it in front of enough buyers, right? So we know when we send out a property based on the feedback that comes in through email, the people that call, my sales manager, who he does an awesome job, we just know, we got the sense, and not to mention, we know it's a good deal, right? We know it's a good area, or there's, you know, the property or the deal has attractive elements about it. Maybe it's a great buy and hold or a great fix and flip. And so you just know, right? But then again, every now and then we get deals, and I think this happens to everybody, that it's just a challenge to move. And it may not be a deal, but one of the things I encouraged to my clients is, number one is always solicit feedback from your potential buyers. In other words, the people that contact you on that property, when they decide to pass on it, you're missing a golden opportunity if you don't ask them for feedback. Ask them why they're passing on it. Get their feedback as far as what they think about, you know, the deal, the condition, the numbers. Usually it boils down to a price, because most properties are a deal at the right number for the most part, right? And so number one, always solicit feedback. Ask them what their thoughts are on the deal. And number two, always ask them for their number. In other words, you know, one way you can approach it is you could say, you know, listen, Mr. Buyer, I realize this deal is not going to work for you because of XYZ. Appreciate you sharing that or you know, providing that feedback. Just so I know, maybe for this deal, in the event I'm able to get some sort of price reduction from the seller, and also for future deals, where would you need to be at for this to work for you? And just kind of shut up and put it on them. I specifically remember there was one deal at some point last year that we were marketing it for about a good 4, 5, 6 days. We even had some JV partners that were putting it out. We couldn't find a buyer. And we went back to a guy that had called in the first couple of days. And we had done this. And we had asked him. I forget the numbers, so I don't want to throw something, you know, I don't want to grab a number out of thin air. But the point is that we asked him and we said, you know, where would you need to be at? And I think he said he needs to be like 30 or 40 grand less than what we were looking for. Right. And so we knew that wasn't going to work off the bat. We knew that we were going to have to get a significant price reduction from the seller for that to even work. Well, long story short, you know, fast forward about a week later, we planted a seed with the seller, which that's probably a whole nother podcast episode, but we planted a seed with the seller that we may not be able, this deal may not work. And so a couple days later, we went back to the seller and we got a price reduction from the seller. We got a significant price reduction. I want to say it was like a good 45 to 50 grand or something we got off the seller, and we ended up moving it to that particular buyer. And I think we made like 13 or 14 or 15 grand on it. I forget exactly what the numbers were. But had we never asked that particular buyer where he needed to be, we may have just gone back and asked the seller for a 20 or 30K price reduction, in which case it wouldn't have worked. And if I remember correctly, we did that to the handful of buyers that were interested in that particular property. And most of them gave us the feedback that they needed to be somewhere in the ballpark of about 25 to 50 grand less than what we were asking. It just wasn't a deal off the bat, you know? And that particular deal, I knew that we were kind of swinging for the fences. And because it was in a pretty good area, we decided that, look, let's lock it up. Let's put it out there and see what comes. And so we knew it was going to be a challenge to move it. But really the takeaway of this short Q&A episode is those deals that might be challenging to move, always ask your buyers for feedback and always ask them where they would need to be on that particular deal and on future deals like that in that particular area. And that's going to give you really valuable data that you can use to either go back and get a price reduction or going forward, whenever you pick up a property in that area that is a similar type situation or property, now you kind of know where you need to be, you know? And look, let's keep it real. Let's be honest. I feel like I always am. We don't sell, you know, we don't bat 1,000%. We're not moving every single property we contract. I want to say we move most of them, but I don't know somebody out there that, you know, is batting 1,000% and they're selling every single property they get, you know, unless they're just not doing enough volume. And so whenever you come across these situations, always do that. Always get feedback from your buyers. Always find out where they need to be. And then again, if you're just relying on your list, which is preferable, obviously, but you just don't seem to be gaining any traction, reach out to agents that have been involved in cash transactions. Reach out to title companies to, you know, they work with other cash buyers. Get creative, you know, make sure you're putting bandit signs. You know, I think a month or two ago, I put out an episode on, you know, it was a two-part series on the top 10 ways to find cash buyers. I think it was episode 135 and 137. So if you didn't get a chance to check those out, go to flipempire.com/episode135. And then you could also do the same thing /episode137. And those are 10 ways that I covered on how to find buyers. So, you know, if you have a deal, buyers will come, it's going to move. But on the deals that are kind of borderline or a bit challenging, use some of those strategies and it's going to help put you in a better position. It's going to equip you with the kind of data that you need to go back and get a price reduction and possibly even help you on future deals. So, I'm sure that they're, you know, my clients are probably listening to this episode, or they're going to listen to it at some point. And I'm really proud of them. It's awesome to see, you know, guys that are just hungry and motivated and they take action on, you know, what you share with them. And they've done that since they started listening to the podcast. And even when I started working with them, they're also a part of the inner circle. And so I'm looking to work with some more people like that, that have done some deals and are just kind of looking to up level their game. And that's the reason, you know, a couple months ago, I created the inner circle, which is more of a small group consulting program. And we have some high level people in there and people that are just, you know, really, really gaining some traction and seeing big improvements in their business. Some people come because they just want a few tweaks and they just want, you know, they want to do more deals and make more money. There's other people that, you know, have challenges with systems or automation or hiring, building a team, scaling. That's the type of conversation that we have in the inner circle. And so I want to invite you, if you guys haven't had an opportunity, if you've done some deals and you think you might be the right fit, this isn't a high-level coaching program where you're spending thousands of dollars. This is a very affordable monthly fee where we get to connect, twice a month on a members-only webinar, access to a private Facebook group. And I've made it so that if you're the right fit, it's an absolute no-brainer. And the investment is well worth it. And that's the feedback I've been getting. So I want to invite you to apply to that. If you think you could be the good fit and you think you could benefit from that, just go to flipempire.com/application. Short little web form there. Just fill it out and I'll be in contact with you. flipempire.com/application. So appreciate your time and I look forward to catching you on the next show. Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text Empire to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.